us Exodus 13, 17 through 22. Exodus 13, 17 through 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Let us pray. O Lord our God, who goes ahead of us to guide us in our way, you brought us to this point in our church's journey. We thank you for your word for us today that will feed us and sustain us and point us in the direction that we need to go as we continue to move forward. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. That prayer in the form of song is something that should be on our lips all the time, but especially at a time like this, seasons of disruption and distress can become a good time for recognizing the limits and the inadequacy of our own power and our own resources. So we look beyond ourselves for provision and guidance. We realize that if we're going to navigate through this pandemic and get to a better place, we need leadership. We need direction. We need to be led. Relying on God's leadership has always been an important part of the life of God's people. We see it in today's text from Exodus. The Israelites have left Egypt. They're getting their first taste of freedom, but freedom doesn't mean being on their own, free to choose their own destination, free to determine the route that they're going to get there. They're still God's people, destined for the place that God has promised. And in order for that promise to be fulfilled, they still need their divine shepherd. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Now, strangely, God starts out by leading his people and taking the long way around in order to avoid battle with the Philistines. This isn't just a matter of physical safety. It's also part of God's strategic thinking. God says to himself, you know, if I lead them straight out of bondage and right into battle, they might think twice about this whole Exodus thing and want to go back to Egypt, to what seems like stability, security. So God knows that his people might, as all of us often are, might be prone to choose a known past over an unknown future. But that's often what leadership means within this story and within the biblical story. It means God moving his people forward further and further into the freedom of living under his sovereign love. The route may often seem out of the way, might seem dangerous, might seem disruptive, but the course we need to remember is being charted by a God who's trustworthy, who's reliable. No matter how fuzzy the future, there's always clarity about the faithfulness of God. Again, no matter how fuzzy the future, there's always clarity in the scriptures about the faithfulness of God. And that's what today is about too, in the ongoing life of our congregation, our church's story. This is the, as I mentioned earlier, 62nd anniversary of Grace Baptist Church. For more than six decades, God has been guiding us. We've been journeying by faith under the Lord's guidance. Every journey is filled with events and experiences and episodes that go into the identity and the mission of the community of God's people. We see that in our scripture passage here today, where we're given what amounts to a journey report. This is a journey report. It brings together the past and the present in a lively conversation with each other. It recalls how God has led and what that leadership from God still means about the territory that's ahead. That's what's going on in our scripture passage here today. And if we were to compose our own journey report about the story of our congregation and where it's currently located in its story, I wonder what we would include in that compilation. How would we narrate, especially for future generations, what it's like to enter into and to go through this part of our church's story right now, our life together? We might tell stories of how we endured some captivity of our own, locked down in our homes, and all the while the doors of God's house were closed. We might tell stories of worshiping online while we were waiting for the doors of the Lord's house to open and we could come back and at least socially distance in the pews. We might tell those stories. We might tell stories about the sad experience of having to close our daycare center and its ministry. We might tell stories of vigilance. Vigilance about staying connected to each other in whatever ways we still can, encouraging one another, caring for one another in Christ. We might tell stories about the challenges of home and family and employment and work and finances and social strife and division within our nation. And maybe we would even try to document some of these stories and do that, for instance, by making a time capsule of this period. If we were to make a time capsule of this period in our life together as a congregation, what kinds of objects would we put into it right now that would be typical of this present experience for us? Maybe a mask, a bottle of hand sanitizer, a copy of our church's COVID-19 guidelines, maybe a copy of one of these signs at the end of the pew that marks them off and keeps us from sitting in some of them, one of those signs. Maybe a portable offering box, though that wouldn't fit very well, come to think of it. Or maybe we would put into that time capsule a webcam or a thumb drive with recordings of our sermons and portions of our worship service during this period. And hopefully, somewhere down the road, if someone were to open up that time capsule and listen to those recordings of our worship here together, they would hear us proclaiming and testifying to the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of God, especially on a Sunday like this. And God's faithfulness includes God's leadership. We haven't made it this far in our journey because of our own fortitude or our own sense of direction. We've made it here because of God's provision and guidance. Our present, what we've got here right now, is made possible by the trustworthiness and the reliability of God, our Lord. And that present comes together really with, and is tied to, the past. Notice in today's text, part of what Moses does, he carries the bones of Joseph with them as they journey. Back at the end of the book of Genesis, Joseph insisted and formalized it into an oath that his bones would be gathered up and taken with the people as they made their journey to the land of promise. This act is a testimony to Joseph's faithfulness. It's a testimony to the durability of God's promises, and it's also a testimony to the intergenerational shape of faith. In other words, the generation that was emancipated from Egypt was critical, but they weren't the first ones to believe in this God, to put their hope in this God who had originally called Abraham and promised his blessing. That's important for us to remember, the intergenerational nature of God's people and its faith. So as we celebrate our church's anniversary, we don't just rejoice in those of us who are here at the church's age of 62. That's part of it. We also remember and give thanks for all those who have been part of the life and mission of our congregation in all those preceding years leading up to now, too. Just because we're the present generation and we're living in extraordinary pandemic circumstances doesn't mean getting so focused on the here and now and us, which can be a tendency to happen, that we lose sight of all those who have come before us in the faith, in this church, to help make possible what we are today and what we're doing together. Those previous generations, their work and their worship and their witness, it's not just a relic of the past. Photos in a church history album, that's part of where we preserve those memories. Their work is even more than just those photos. It's a living work, still operating among us in lots of ways. And just like us, all those generations that came before us here in Grace Baptist Church, they lived through their seasons of sorrow and struggle, and their periods of prosperity, just like we do in our church. And together with us, they sort of comprise a living fellowship of those past and present, a fellowship that's built on and stands on the promises of God. Let's remember, too, that this fellowship extends not just into the past and up to the present. It extends beyond our congregation, because on an occasion like this, it's easy to lose sight of how our church is just one small piece of the larger community throughout the world, around the globe, of all those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord, God's church. You saw some of that earlier in our missions moment, where we're reminded of our partnership with brothers and sisters in Christ in churches across the states of Maryland and Delaware. And you don't even have to look out to other parts of the state. You can even look locally and see that our church is part of something much greater than just our own assembly. We recently got a letter in the mail from our brothers and sisters in Christ at Shiloh United Methodist Church, just across the way here, announcing the celebration of their 185th anniversary. That's three times older than we are in this church. Consider it. Next Sunday, September 20th, they'll gather as best they can right now via Facebook Live and Zoom for a service of praise to God for all the work that he's done through their ministries. They'll give praise and thanks to God for his work in them and through them across almost two centuries. Sometimes God uses the witness and the wisdom of past generations to inspire and encourage and pull forward us into the future that he plans in Christ. God takes the testimony of those who have preceded us and uses that to encourage us and to pull us further into the future that he's promised through Christ. And in addition to using faithful examples from the past, God also leads us through people we have with us here in the present to guide us forward. The Lord provides leadership for the church through individuals in the congregation right here and now too. That's one of the reasons why the nominating committee's work of seeking individuals to serve in various parts of the church's ministry is so important. This time of the year and what the committee does, it's more than just the annual edition of the church's want ads. It's more than just a Kingdom of God version of Indeed.com where we're looking for help. This is about discerning who will be leading us in various parts of our church's mission and ministry. And remember that those who lead our congregation are people whom God calls to enable us to make that journey that goes from our deliverance in Christ to our destination in Christ. In other words, a great way to think about leaders in the church is that they're essentially wilderness guides. Before we possess the promised land, we hear in the scripture passage here today, we must pass through the desert. So church leaders are essentially wilderness guides. They're summoned by God into different places of service in the church to help get God's people to where God wants us to go and where God wants us to be. And we need that kind of thing. We need it at all times, but we especially need it in a season like this, created by the coronavirus, all the disruption and distress that's come about because of a situation like this. I've always found, but especially in an experience like the present, that people in the church look to their leaders. They look for guidance. They rely on people whom God has called and put out front in the congregation to help shepherd and direct and nurture and help the church navigate its way through all the challenges, all the risks, all the opportunities. And like we hear in our scripture passage here today, what matters most is not simply the leaders that are out front, but God himself who is out front, ahead of his people, guiding them on their way. In the case of his people, Israel, he went before them, right? Wasn't just beside them or behind them. The text tells us God went before them in a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. In other words, the Lord's leadership for his people was 24/7. He didn't bring his people out of bondage and then abandon them to sort of come up with their own plan from there. That's not what happened, or their own sense of direction. He didn't tell them, well, okay, here you are, free. Now call me if you get off course. That's not the way he did it. He didn't suggest that they experiment with various routes and different paths and then come up with their own solution, discover their own way. No, we're told in the scripture passage today that God showed them the way. God charted the way. God became the way for them. In her book, God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light, Elizabeth Elliot tells about two travelers who stopped by to see her one time. They were all loaded with equipment for a journey into the rainforest east of the Andes. They didn't ask really for lots of advice or deep insight. All they really wanted was a few phrases that they could use in their conversation with the Indians in that part of the world. And she writes, "Sometimes we come to God as the two adventurers came to me, confident and, we think, well-informed, well-equipped. But has it occurred to us that with all our accumulation of stuff, something is missing?" So she suggests that we often ask God really for too little. We know what we need, or at least we think we know what we need. A yes or no answer, please, to a simple question, or perhaps a road sign, something quick and easy to point the way. What we really ought to have, she says, is the guide himself. The guide himself. Maps, road signs, a few useful phrases or things. But infinitely better is someone who has been there before and knows the way. Knows the way. For 62 years, we as a congregation, fellowship of people in faith, both past and present, have been following a Lord and Savior who knows the way, who's already been there, who is, he tells us, the way. We have the guide himself. For us, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, may come in a variety of forms. God manifests his holiness among us in all kinds of ways still, and in particular, the Lord has blessed us with the gift of his word and the gift of the empowering presence of his spirit, his Holy Spirit among us. And along with these, the word and the spirit, the gift of experience and the wisdom and the understanding that comes from experience, the gift of leaders in the present, men and women who go out front of us by the Lord's calling and who not only walk among us, yes, walk with us, yes, but also walk in front of us to help lead us, to know that the Lord's leadership is leadership that can be counted on in our life together as God's people. Let's pray. O Lord our God, faithful guide, thank you for your reliable and trustworthy provision and direction for our congregation over all these years of worship, work, and witness. For all our brothers and sisters in Christ in churches nearby and far away who join us today in worshiping you, we thank you for the gifts that you provided us on this journey, your word, the Holy Spirit, experience, the witness of those who've come before us, leaders here in the present, and every other way that you yourself have not only been with us or beside us, but out front of us. We trust you now to continue to take us forward and pull us forward into the future that you have for us in Christ. We pray now with thanksgiving and praise in his name. Amen. Let's continue to offer our praise and